So they have full names. That like one of them is called Thiago Alcantara, the other one is called Jerome Boateng. So like I wouldn't even like try and do any puns. Like it would literally just be
Just
yeah, this cat is called Jamal Musiala.
straight into it.
Yeah. There's no point. There's no I haven't got time for nonsense with my cats. Just think.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. Bayern Munich kicked off the new Bundesliga season last weekend with a tame 1-1 draw against Gladbach, but followed it up with a lively 3-1 win over Dortmund in the Super Cup midweek. Their 3-2 win over Cologne earlier today was a mixed bag in terms of performance, but Julian Nagelsmann will no doubt be thrilled to have secured his first Bundesliga win at Bayern Munich. I'm Benjamin Scott, and on today's episode I'll be talking impressions on Bayern's first few matches this season, expectations up for what's to come this season, and a few things more with my friends Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Well, three games down, still no losses for Bayern. A bit disappointing against Gladbach last weekend, but as Tim put in the chat, you know, a point against Gladbach can occasionally feel like a win sometimes, so not too big of a deal there. But I want to start with a pretty simple question, and Sebastian, I'll come to you first. What has really stood out to you from Nagelsmann's first few weeks in charge? Has, you know, anything stood out positively or negatively? Just what do you feel like we should be commenting on here after the first few games under our new coach?
Well, actually, it is a bit underwhelming, I guess, that there was no real, like, major development, I guess. I was kind of expecting, like, more changes that you could, like, see that this is a different team under a different manager. And for now, I feel like this could very well still be a Hansi Flick team. So I don't think so much has happened. I think, of course, it's pretty good that the last couple of games have gone much better than the games in the preseason, because that was really not great, and we were all saying, like, it doesn't mean much, and I think it turned out that it really didn't mean much, and it's perfectly fine. But yeah, I was kind of thinking that there might be kind of a Nagelsmann favorite player, some player that's getting, like, more minutes, and some other people who are not getting as many minutes, but from who has been playing, this is just very normal, very, very standard, very much what we have been seeing before. So there's no big headline here, I feel. There's just really no big headline. There are just small things that you can point out. I think one thing is what we saw today, that there might be a change of system, because for the most part today, this was not really exactly a, like, 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. Basically, as we have been used to, but more like a 3-4-3. This would be an exciting change, and this would be a change that also means that everything has to be looked at from a different angle regarding having another right back or not. This might change a lot about that. So this would be exciting. I would actually like to see a new system by now, because yeah, I think it's maybe about time, and I think Nagelsmann is known as someone who probably, not very strongly, like, he's not someone who only plays this one system, but I think he's someone who likes to play with three fullbacks. That would be an interesting system, I suppose. I'd like to see
someone. We don't even have three fullbacks.
I mean, so we could play them all. Anyway, so this is an interesting thing, and I think there are some young players we have seen that are definitely looking better and looking like exciting prospects. Talking about Nianzu, of course, and about Stanisic, I think they have both been pretty solid, and yeah, maybe it's time for them to shine now. This could be exciting, but yeah, it's just the beginnings here. Nothing of that was really extremely flashy. Musiala has already been good, so that's also not saying much here. Yeah, I'm still kind of waiting for the bigger developments to kick in. Maybe a transfer here or there. maybe actually changing over to this new system now, that would be something more noteworthy than what we have seen before. For now, I think this this new team, this new season can go either way right now. It's just very hard to pin down if this is going to be something great or could also become concerning again pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Tim, what about you? Any big, I guess, standouts from Nagelsmann's first few weeks in charge at Bayern Munich?
I really like the fact that the defense has been okay. We've conceded in the game against Gladbach. We conceded against Dortmund, and today we conceded against Cologne. But I now look at games not thinking, okay, we're definitely going to concede here. And I think part of that comes from seeing that Niklas Süle has played really well. I think he was kind of like tailing off a little bit at the end of last season, and also throughout as well. He was kind of used as like this makeshift right back at times, and that was fun because it was like, okay, this is something we haven't seen before. But obviously, like, his future should remain in the centre of defence. And so seeing him do so well recently in the centre has been really great. And when you have guys like him and Deo Upamecano, who are they're defenders that are willing to make a tackle, I think that's, in my eyes, that's like a big thing that was missing from last season. So our best tackler last season and the season before was Lucas Hernandez. Obviously, he was predominantly used as like a bit part player. And when he was used, he was primarily put out wide in the left back role. And that's an issue because his best asset isn't, you know, bombing down the wing and like making these overlapping runs. It is the fact that he's so tenacious and willing to throw himself at anybody. And then with that, players like David Alaba and Jerome Boateng, I can't remember the right way that I put it. I think I likened it to how when he doesn't have the ball, Toni Kroos isn't as effective. When he does have the ball, that's kind of like when he's the best. So if David Alaba has the ball, great, this is great. You can play out from the back. You've got long passing. You have this like sense of organization maybe. When he doesn't have the ball, he is a liability. I kind of don't really see that in Upamecano or Süle. And I also feel like when Hernandez is back, that's going to be fine as well. So I've really liked the defense. I feel like we're not going to be... I don't know. I don't think you can go into a game expecting a clean sheet like every single week. I think it's going to be, you know, Bayern concede goals. The best teams concede goals. But I think it's something that I can look at and think I'm more confident of like a really solid defensive performance than I would have been in the past. So I really like the defense. I think sadly, the other thing that's kind of standing out is the fact that the attack still seems to just not really be firing as well as it should do. Okay, we won against Dortmund, we won against Cologne, but it wasn't. I don't feel it was as prolific as it could have been. But you know, maybe that's just a matter of time. These things take time, and I think to say like, oh, we need to sell all of these guys and get somebody new in, like instantly, I think that's maybe short sighted, and like, you know, Nagelsmann's only been here for a few weeks still, so I'm willing to hold off on any really severe criticism, but I would like to have seen something different, because I think as you said, like, this didn't really seem too dissimilar to it being a Flick side.
I really like that you brought up the defense, because I agree, although we've given up goals in each of the games that we've played so far, I think that our defense is looking better. Like, it maybe not statistically, but at least it passes the visual test of an improvement on last season. I think Upamecano has just improved in every single game. I think the same for Süle as well. I think they fell asleep for 2 minutes today, and Bayern got punished because of that. But I think it's a very promising duo. Stanisic has been playing fairly well at right back as well. Nianzu seemed to have a good first half today. I mean, yeah, like you said, the attack still just isn't meshing all the way. Thankfully, Serge Gnabry is finally kind of getting back on track. I wish we could say the same for Leroy Sané, but we'll probably talk more about him here in just a minute. I guess the big observation for me is it's kind of low-hanging fruit, but I got to talk about Jamal Musiala, who was incredible when he came on today. He played a perfect ball or made a great dribble to find the space and played a perfect ball to Robert Lewandowski, but it seems like all of our wingers are kind of struggling right now, the three veteran ones, even though Gnabry's kind of pulling himself out of this rut. I really don't see any reason that Jamal Musiala shouldn't be starting, if not every game, the majority of the games, getting the majority of the minutes, especially on that left wing, going forward. At least that's the way I see it. But today, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about Leroy Sané, because clearly he hasn't had the best start to the season. He was even getting booed a little bit today by the Bayern fans, whistled at, which is something you really never, ever want to see. But Tim, I'm going to come back to you because a couple weeks ago, you talked about on Twitter how Sané historically has always been better on the left side. Do you think that what we're seeing with him right now is a case of him being played out of position, him being used in a role that really he's just not best at? So do you think he'd be better going on the left side? Or do you think there is something more to it? Do you think he's got something going on that's hindering the way he's playing right now?
I think it's certainly both. There's no way that you can look at him and think, yeah, this is a guy that is 100% focused and is confident in his abilities. I think there's clearly like a mental barrier between him and getting back into his best form. What you mentioned about him being currently like almost exclusively being used as a right winger. The whole thing about him being on the left, that's like a suspicion that I've had for a little while, because obviously being in England, I have a lot of time to watch teams like Manchester City play, and I was always aware of him being a left-footed player on the left side. And in my head, like, I think that's kind of strange. Like, surely you want somebody that is of his mold to be on the right side, because he is very quick. He is a very good dribbler. He can take a shot. Like, he has an eye for goal. He can be a very prolific forward, much in the same way that Iron Robin was very quick, a very good dribbler, loves to take people on, a prolific forward. But just because these two are the same, it doesn't mean that he can necessarily just fit in effortlessly. When Sané played for Manchester City, invariably he was being played on the left side. He was obviously playing quite a lot wider than how Bayern typically utilize their wingers. I remember the average position for Bayern players and for Bayern wingers isn't on the wing. It's normally like halfway, like towards the center, because that's how they go. They get the ball, they come inside, and then they take a shot or they pass or whatever. I don't think that Leroy Sané is made for that role. And there is a lot of historic evidence to suggest that. And I realize that when he's at Man City, he's not going to just be on the left. He's going to move over to the right. He'll be in the middle at some point. But the fact that he is primarily registered as a left winger. So if you were to go to Transfermarkt and look at his performances for Man City, you'll see he has made almost all of his appearances for Man City as a left winger. Virtually all of his goals come from the left side. And that's kind of where I think Bayern should be looking towards. That's the direction, because I do think that, you know, you need to be critical of these guys when they aren't doing well enough. You need to say this has to be better. And okay, we got Leroy Sané for half of what we were going to get him the year prior, but then with things like wages, that argument kind of goes out the window slightly. So with that, you need to think, okay, this guy needs to get back to his best. What can be done in order to make that happen? In my eyes, the solution is get him onto the left wing. Serge Gnabry's always been comfortable on the right wing as well. Maybe that's like, because obviously he's not been like, you know, obviously this is a discussion about Leroy Sané. I think it would be unfair to say that, like, Thomas Müller's been really good these past few weeks. Yeah, Serge Gnabry, he scored two goals. Serge Gnabry scored two goals today and was pretty terrible. Like, he had a couple of moments, and with any luck, getting these goals is going to put him back on track. But I really don't think he did anything fantastic today. I think he would, like, he gave the ball away a lot. He gave the ball away a lot against Dortmund, or either Dortmund or Gladbach. I can't remember. I just remember seeing him misplace pass after misplaced pass. And so I want to see Julian Nagelsmann really kind of like cement his name and saying, this is what I'm going to do at Bayern. And I'm going to have a left-footed left winger. I'm going to have a right-footed right winger. And the joy of having somebody like Kingsley Coman is the fact that he is comfortable enough with both feet that he can do either role without really missing a step too much. So Bayern have kind of played this way for, I don't know, over 10 years for sure. I was aware of when Louis van Gaal introduced it, when he had Ribery and Robin. But I do think that this is time for Bayern to move away from the inverted wingers and get Julian Nagelsmann to say, this is how we want to do it now. And, you know, if there was ever a manager to make that sort of change, to like progress Bayern and develop it, it is this guy. But yeah, I'm all for a left winger, Leroy Sané. I don't think that's going to instantly solve everything, but it could certainly help matters. And that's pretty much what we need right now.
Yeah, Sané and Gnabry both are two players that I think are in need of a big season. I think one or the other has to step up and has to be an elite, world-class, whatever word you want to use, and Kingsley Coman can be thrown into this conversation as well. One of them has to step up and prove that they are an elite winger, that they are a world-class winger, that they can provide goals, assists, quality, week in, week out on the wing if Bayern want to be successful this season. And so, Sebastian, I'm kind of wondering, is there anyone that stands out to you that you think really needs to have a big season? And then also along the same track, maybe there's another player that you kind of expect to have a big season. Not necessarily you think that they need to, but you think that they will.
I mean, I think the kind of last part is probably the easiest one here. Do I expect to have a big season? For me, this is probably Jamal Musiala's breakout season. He very much underlined that today. He looked very good. And for me, that also ties into the whole Sané situation. For me, he's not a left winger or a right winger right now. He's a bench winger, I'm sorry. Oof. Because Jamal Musiala needs to get those starts right now. Because seriously, man, he's looking dangerous. It was the same with the national team. That was a bad national team this summer. But Jamal Musiala was definitely looking like the most dangerous, or one of the most dangerous players they had. And it's kind of the same now. The other guys are kind of boring, not looking exciting, not looking dangerous. And then you put Musiala on and suddenly things get much more interesting. So I really don't see how you can start Sané on the left, like in the next game or something like that. I don't know why you would do that, really. I mean, he hasn't been great for a year. Basically, he hasn't been bad, but he has not been on the level we would like to see him. And he right now he's not better than Musiala. And I mean, I don't know, how are you going to start Sané if you're going to start Musiala right now?
Right.
If you're also Müller, it's just not. I don't see how that works if you're not going to play him on the right side. No matter if we play the old system or the possible new system. Well, on the left side, there's just there's just not enough room there. You're going to play Davies. You're going to play Müller somewhere, and then you're going to play Musiala, and then all the spots are gone that you would want to put Sané on. So, yeah. Okay, so much for that, of course. So you could also frame that as Sané needs a very good season right now, of course. No doubt about that. And the other person here that comes to mind is Süle for me. He needs to grab his chance here and run with it. Otherwise, yeah, this could be problematic with him. This is probably the last chance he has to show that he can be the player we knew him as. So I really hope that works out, because it would be not great to lose a German guy in that back line, and also a player with his kind of skills and like also his frame. You want a guy you can put in there who's just really kind of impressive in terms of his physique. That's just a good thing to have, like having another option there, because we are probably going to see like Nianzu, who's rather thin. Then we have Hernandez and alongside Upamecano, and they're not like tiny or anything, but as far as center backs go, they are kind of on the smaller side, I feel.
Right.
So yeah, that's just good to have. Süle is just the ideal guy to have with this set of center backs. So he brings so much that we would want to have on that back line. So it would be just a huge shame to have to see him go, because he's just not able to put it together again. That would just be incredibly frustrating, I feel.
Yeah.
So I guess these are my picks there.
Good ones. Tim, I'm wondering, same question for you. Who do you expect to have a big season, and who do you think really needs to have a big season?
I think needs to have both of the wingers. Both of the wingers, wow. That's my Koeman bias really coming through. Both of the guys that I think should be our starting wingers need to really, really pick up the pace a bit. Like, I'm very glad that Gnabry got two goals today. I remember he got three goals against Schalke last season and then proceeded to do very little. So that, like, I'd really like to see him, you know, consistently scoring. And if not even consistently scoring, just consistently having a good game. Like, I feel like you can look at goals and assists and they'll tell you one thing, but like you actually need to be good for 80 minutes, 90 minutes, however long you're going to play for. And the same for Sané as well. I really want him to, like, I really like Sané. I know a lot of people are kind of ready to give up on him, which is a huge shame. And I never want to boo, like, my own player. Like, that's incredible to me. The fact that happens. But if there's anything that can, like, if there's any good that can come from that, it's that I remember Robin got booed by Bayern fans before. Shortly after the 2012 Champions League final. So I don't want to say that the seventh Champions League trophy's come in this season, but, you know, the writing's on the wall here. In terms of who I think is going to have a breakout season, I'd really like to see Omar Richards do something. I really liked him in preseason. He's got a great name. I think it's something that's going to... I'd like to see him play more. But obviously Davies is doing fantastically, so I haven't got any problem with that. I don't think they should really be dropped. But then at the same time, because he's doing so well going forward, maybe Davies is an option, like in that winger role. And then you can play Omar Richards, left back. But yeah, I really don't know. I think I'm really excited to see what Nianzu gets up to this season. I think he did a really great preseason, like when he was like regularly partnered with Upamecano, and he played very, very calmly. I think today he was a bit unfortunate. He was stuck out wide quite a lot, and he didn't really look as calm on the ball as he has done before. But that's something that's going to come with time, I think. I'm really excited about him. I think he's going to be a great asset to the team, because he can also help out in defensive midfield. I think he prefers to play at centre-back, but, you know, in a pinch, he could be there. Yeah, I'm looking forward to more of him. But hopefully he'll be playing more centrally. I feel like out of the three centre-backs that were playing today, I'd rather have Süle at right-back. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think he's a great guy, and the other players seem to really like him as well. I know Manuel Neuer said that he was like one of the funniest in the dressing room. So, yeah, Nianzu season firmly on the menu.
I know. I already talked about how I think that Sané and Gnabry and Coman, I agree, they all need to have a big season, or at least one or two of them needs to step up and show something. But as far as whom I'm expecting to have a big season, Alphonso Davies is the standout name for me. I think that maybe outside of Lewandowski, but maybe even above Lewandowski, I think he's been our best player so far this season. He looks like the Alphonso Davies of 2 seasons ago. Obviously, last year he spent a lot of time on the bench because he was hurt, and he struggled with injuries throughout, and so we didn't get to see the best of him. And I really think that coming back this year, he's going to show that it wasn't a fluke, that one season. It wasn't a fluke that he demolished Barcelona in that 8-2 win, that he is very much the real deal. And especially if Nagelsmann wants to continue trying a sort of three-at-the-back system, I think that only benefits Davies. It won't hurt him at all. And yeah, I'm expecting a lot from him this season. I'd be really disappointed if he goes down injured, really disappointed if something happens, but I'm really expecting a lot out of him. So that's Davies, Nianzu, Musiala. We're all unsurprisingly keeping an eye on some of the young guys heading into the season. Let's talk about a little bit of transfer rumor type stuff. Robert Lewandowski has had some rumors circulating around him over the last week. I want to kind of put out there up front, I don't really believe any of what these rumors are saying, but I think it's Sky Sports who's saying that he's unhappy, he's trying to find a way out, that he wants a way out, but Bayern absolutely aren't going to sell him this year. And so all of that kind of got me thinking. We actually had a question from a listener come in as well that, it says Robert Lewandowski's contract expires in 2023, so we've got 2 more seasons left with him, and obviously he's not going to be around forever. He's not going to be at the top of his game forever. And so the question is, at what point do Bayern start making serious moves for a long-term replacement? At what point do we really identify someone and kind of stake our claim that this is the guy who's going to take over from Robert Lewandowski? And I thought that was a really good question for us to address here, especially since it's Lewandowski is still at the top of his game. He's still arguably the best striker in the world. So, Sebastian, what are your thoughts on that? At what point do Bayern really start thinking about bringing in somebody to take over from Lewandowski?
Yeah, I think we already kind of briefly touched on that last time, and I think the answer has to be like a year ago or 2 years ago, because it's just going to be incredibly difficult, I feel, for Bayern to find a ready-made kind of replacement for Robert Lewandowski. This is a player you rely on a lot. I mean, even I, as not like the biggest Robert Lewandowski fan, of course we are relying on his goals a lot right now. And yeah, you can just buy a player who plays like that and is like 23, 24, 25 or something. That we can't, I don't think we can do that right now. This would break the whole system. This would be, alone the transfer fee would be so high, and then you would have to pay that guy like twice as much as you pay anyone else on the squad probably. I don't think it's realistic to say, okay, we are either next year or in 2 years or in 3 years or whatever, maybe we can resign him for a bit. But yeah, I don't think that in the very like near future it's realistic that we're going to buy a striker who is even close to that level and not like completely break the bank. I think that's just not realistic. So the only way we are going to do this is getting someone in who's young, who's who we can kind of develop. But that has not really happened, because the route we have gone down kind of is having a backup that's not that young guy we're developing, but Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting. I mean, you can say good and bad things about him, I suppose, but yeah, I think we all agree that he's not a Robert Lewandowski replacement. I think we all agree on that. So I think we should have already done more in terms of looking at young strikers. Of course, we have Xerxes. But Xerxes is, I think, from what it looks like anyway, it has looked like more like we have kind of halfway given up on him already. And we're not actually trying our very best to put him in the position to succeed as a potential Robert Lewandowski replacement. And if he's not going, if you don't see him as even a 10% likely Robert Lewandowski replacement. What are we even doing with him? Then you can sell him already, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we should already have looked at more prospects at striker and trying to find a young striker we can like grow, we can develop. Of course, you know me. I guess many listeners also know that. I will have to bring up the name of Timo Werner because, honestly, I think we could probably this summer sign Timo Werner. I think that's not unlikely, right? And I think opportunities like that, they don't come all that often, I feel. I still think he can be as good as he was at Leipzig. And he can probably do that at Bayern. He's a German guy. He's definitely someone who can score like 30 goals. Something like that. Yeah. How many people of that age can you get for a price tag that's reasonable by Bayern standards? And as I said, he's German. He probably would still be interested in the club. So just putting that out there. Because I really struggle to come up with any names where I would say, okay, this is a guy that can be the guy like next year or in 2 years. That's really incredibly tough.
Well, I mean, there's so. Erling Haaland.
Yes, of course, but how in the world are we going to sign Erling Haaland? I just don't see that. This is a 200 million kind of guy. And we all know who his agent is. That's right. I mean, Raiola. So I just don't see it, honestly. I think that ship has sailed like half a year ago at least, mm-hmm. and it's still sailing ever further away right now.
I guess sort of the way I see it, you brought up Timo Werner, and I mean, I don't think that is too far off, and I think the solution is going to have to be something like that. It's going to have to be a solution of, okay, Lewandowski is leaving. Who can we get? We have to get someone that's proven, essentially. And I say that because the club has tried the young guy coming in and developing thing with a couple players already. Joshua Zirkzee was supposed to be that guy. Before him, we signed Fita Arp and we stuck him on a 5 million euros a year contract. And I don't even know if he's played a first team game in the Bundesliga at all. So to address the question, should the club be looking now for a Lewandowski replacement? Well, yes, but also no. I mean, look for somebody, but don't go investing all this money in someone who's not going to pan out, essentially. And Xerxes could turn out to be that guy. Of course, Fitarp still, I guess, potentially could turn out to be that guy. But Robert Lewandowski, you got to remember, he wasn't exactly a young player when he came to Bayern. He was in his mid-20s. And before that, we signed older players with Mario Gomez, Mario Mandzukic. And so I think we're at the point where it's going to have to be a timeline along the path of, okay, Lewandowski is leaving. Who can we get right now that can walk into this first team, that can lead the team going forward? And then other, I guess, solution is convert to a system that makes the most out of Serge Gnabry playing some type of forward or look for a guy like Timo Werner, if not him exactly, see who's on the market. But it's a difficult situation. It really is. Tim, any thoughts on this topic?
Yes, I do. I have a couple. I think Sebastian made a good point. Now isn't the time to start looking for somebody. We really should have been doing that quite a while ago. Because we've seen how difficult it's been to replace other like big players like Ribéry and Robin. And that was something that was prolonged for a very long time. And now there were rumors this summer like, are we just going to get Ribéry back? Is that going to happen? Thankfully, we have moved on slightly. But at this point, it doesn't really look like it's like really panned out in the way that it should do. The thing that Bayern have that... I think if we were to compare Bayern to another team who are about to lose like their top striker, apparently, is Tottenham Hotspur. Tottenham Hotspur don't need somebody that can get them like 30 goals a season or whatever, because they're not really competing for anything. A lot of Harry Kane's goals are, in a way, somewhat superfluous. Like, you can get three goals here, but ultimately you're not really progressing past the likes of Man City or Chelsea or United or Liverpool. Tottenham aren't going to, they don't need like a 30 goal a season striker to get past that, because it's like, it just doesn't really seem attainable at this point. Like, the gap is so significant. What Bayern have is somebody that has, they have a striker that has got them there. They are amongst that top. They're in the elite of Europe. Partly because, like, last season, Lewandowski was responsible for like well over half our goals, I think. Maybe. Have I got that wrong?
No, I think you're right.
So he was so vital. And it wasn't just a matter of like, oh, he was just kind of like tagging on at the end. Lewandowski's completely changed the way that the team has played. And the result of that is he is scoring more and he is helping to win more games. You need somebody that's going to have that sort of impact. You don't need somebody that can just tack on at the end. You need a difference maker. So to compare that to Harry Kane, I don't feel that Harry Kane is that difference maker for Tottenham Hotspur. I currently don't feel like he's going to be much of a difference maker domestically for Man City if he goes. They're probably helping in Europe, but I think right now that competition is like it's its own problem. I think Bayern need to have a striker that is so, that has such an impact every single time they're on the pitch. And right now, there is one person who really ticks that box for me, and he's Norwegian, and I don't really need to say anything else.
And
And he's tall and blonde and currently plays for Dortmund, and obviously that's like a whole reputation
right, exactly.
thing that Bayern probably tries to... it's almost frustrating that he plays for Dortmund, but I feel Bayern and any other club in the world should, like, so let's say if he played for Real Madrid and Barcelona needed to buy him, obviously they wouldn't be able to because it would be very expensive, but I think anybody should look at Erling Haaland and say, okay, forget everything, like forget the context around him, look at this guy and see that he can score like 40 plus goals for Dortmund in the league, like since he's arrived. He's only just turned 21. If you buy this guy, that is at least 10 years of at least 25 goals a season. You have to do everything in your power to get that. And if it means paying him, you know, 20 million euros a year, that's fine. He is worth it. Anything over that, then yeah, you get into very difficult territory with other players in the squad, but he is special. In my eyes, he is the only person that I think, if Bayern were to say, okay, Lewandowski's leaving at the end of this season, we've got Haaland, I haven't got a problem with that. If they were to say, Lewandowski's leaving, we've got Timo Werner, I'll be like, okay, maybe that could work out. Haaland is the only one that I go into that with full confidence of how it's going to work out.
Yeah.
But this is a discussion that Bayern should have been having like several years ago.
Right. And this is, so the Haaland discussion is probably one we'll be having a lot between now and this time next year. I think you're right that if Lewandowski's gone, we need, like, I feel like this word gets thrown around a lot and I don't love it, but like a talisman type player, like someone who we know is going to be the focal point of our attack. Unless, and this is where I think that bringing in someone like Nagelsmann makes a big difference, unless we can tweak the way that we play to where we don't need somebody that big. Because I think you're spot on. If Lewandowski leaves and we don't change systems, it has to be Erling Haaland. It has to, or unless, you know, someone emerges as this superstar level striker like Erling Haaland, it has to be someone like that who's guaranteed to get us 25, 30 goals a season. However, if Nagelsmann can say, okay, I can work a system around where we don't need just one goal scorer, where we have, you know, two or three 15 to 20 goals a year type players, then I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be good to go. So it all depends on, I guess, the coach and the vision that he has. But briefly, obviously, if we can get Haaland, we're out of our minds if we don't go for it. But Sebastian?
Yeah, guys, I mean, is it realistic? Let's be honest here. Is it realistic that Bayern would pay him like 20 million? It's probably not enough. I don't think 20 million is enough. I think we would have to go at least for something like 25, and then we would have to pay 150 million like as a transfer fee. And even that is optimistic, but I just can't see Bayern paying that in the near future.
Well,
do you have any reason to see that differently?
The only defense I have is if Haaland sees Bayern as somewhere that he is like desperate to go. If Haaland says, I want to go to Bayern, we pay the release clause, nothing more. We tell him we'll pay you what we were paying Lewandowski and nothing more. And he's okay with it and he comes in. But that's like a, like you said, it's a 0.001% chance something like that plays out.
Very big if there.
Yeah. So, again, that's where I think the solution is. It has to be a change of system or something. But I don't know, Tim.
Yeah, it's such a difficult question. Because obviously, I think all of us have played like FIFA or Football Manager or like similar games where it's so easy to just be like, oh yeah, we'll just buy him for 120 million. That's not real money. Obviously it is. Like for a club like Bayern, who are famously very, what's the right way of putting this? They're very sensible with their money. They don't often, like until recently, Tolisso was our highest transfer for 40 million. And I think it's only Sané, or for 41 million, I think it's only Sané and Hernandez are over that. The Hernandez fee is very weird. That's for another day. I've been thinking about that for about 2 years now. I do think that everyone at Bayern should be looking at Erling Haaland and saying, whatever we pay, he's probably worth it. Okay, there's like a limit if he's like, my transfer fee is 700 million euros. Yeah, draw the line somewhere. But at the same time, the whole thing of like, is it realistic? It's probably not realistic, but there is a chance that it is still achievable. And I think for as long as it is achievable, you have to go in thinking we can do this. Because I think, like, what's the release clause? The release clause is like 75 million or something. I don't understand the legalities of it, whether it can just go to a bidding war. Like they'll pay a release clause, but someone will offer Dortmund like 200 million or however much, and they'll say, okay, well, we're going to go for these people because they've paid more. I don't know what is allowed and what isn't. But I think 75 million for Erling Haaland is phenomenal money. It's such a great deal. It's everything that comes around it that is the problem. But I really think that considering how fiscally sensible Bayern have been, not making massive, massive signings just for the sake of it, and the way that they've dealt with COVID, granted, Bonasar and a 4-year contract wasn't ideal, the fact that they've managed to do everything so sensibly and securely should, in theory, set us up for a situation where if someone like Haaland is available, it isn't too much of a stretch, and it doesn't risk bankrupting the club.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. There's no point in this conversation that I'm like, yes, absolutely 100%, because there are so many other question marks that come around it. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult.
Well, I guess the good news is that it's not a decision that, one, we get to make, or two, has to be made for a while, because at least until next summer, we have Robert Lewandowski and Erling Haaland won't be leaving Borussia Dortmund. And I mean, as of right now, just based on right this moment, I would still take Lewandowski as the better player, and that's who we have anyway. So it's a bit weird to feel to be talking about this in such a way, because most clubs would die to even have a 33-year-old Robert Lewandowski playing for their team. But that's where we are. We're talking about his successor. Again, a conversation I'm sure we'll have plenty of times between now and when Robert Lewandowski finally does leave the club. But that is all the time that we have for this episode. If you've enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there's a few ways that you can do that. You can reach out to us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod, and you can follow us and keep up to date with us there. Or you can email us at SuperBayernPod@gmail.com. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.